The reading is on the second page of your hymn sheets. It is in Ezra chapter 10 and the first 12 verses. Ezra chapter 10, the first 12 verses. And perhaps it might be a good idea, before we have the reading, to actually give you the setting here. 538 BC, Zerubbabel and Joshua, they led a small party back from Babylon, back to Palestine. And then 2 years later, the temple was started. Then after a delay, 20 years later, it was finished. Then after that, after the temple was finished, about 38 years after that, we have the story of the book of Esther. Then another 20 years after that, Ezra comes, and this is where we are here. So we're 20 years after the events in Esther. Ezra comes and he finds that Israel has gone back from the Lord. They've joined themselves with the nations and idols of the land, but specifically they have married then the wives of those of that land and joined them together. And he saw them so departed to the same sins for which the Lord took them away in the first place. And this is the context here, that Ezra is addressing this. And so as we read this portion, this is the matter being addressed, and you will notice on the front of your sheets that it is in the verse 2, the words, "Yet now there is hope," and in Israel concerning this thing that we want to bring before you. But this is the setting where we are in the history of Israel, and with Ezra then coming before the people. So we read from verse 1. "Now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. And Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, We have trespassed against our God, and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. Now therefore let us make a covenant with our God, to put away all the wives and such as are born of them, according to the counsel of my Lord, and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. Then arose Ezra and made the chief priests, the Levites, and all Israel to swear that they should do according to this word, and they swear. Then Ezra rose up from before the house of God, and went into the chamber of Johanan the son of Eliashib. And when he came thither, he did eat no bread nor drink water, for he mourned because of the transgression of them that had been carried away. And they made proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem unto all the children of the captivity, that they should gather themselves together unto Jerusalem, and that whosoever would not come within 3 days, according to the counsel of the princes and the elders, all his substance should be forfeited, and himself separated from the congregation of those that had been carried away. Then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the 9th month, on the 20th day of the month, and all the people sat in the street of the house of God, trembling because of this matter, and for the great rain. And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, Ye have transgressed, and have taken strange wives, to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land, and from the strange wives. Then all the congregation answered, and said with a loud voice, As thou hast said, so must we do. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. And the word then that is before us is in verse 2. And just the words on the front of your sheet, now there is hope. Yet now there is hope. Ezra and the people that were with him really realized what they had done wrong, how they had transgressed, and it would have been very easy for them to just give up, just feel that they had so failed, they'd just done what their fathers had done, and say that there was no hope. But they didn't. They said that there was hope. And it's so vital for us. While there is life, that there is hope. And I do really pray that the word this morning might be a ray of hope and encouragement to some of you there. Yeah, that there is hope. And you know what thing it is that is concerning you, what is burdening you. Now, how this matter came to me, I often go for a walk in the woods near our home, and many times I desire that as I walk, I might meditate upon the word and have that subject and prophet to be able to bring for the ministry. And the other day I went to the woods in that way and had spent some 3/4 hour walking, probably only got another 1/4 hour, 20 minutes, and I would have been back home. And I suddenly realized that my mind had been on all sorts of other things. I hadn't been meditating upon the Lord. I hadn't thought on him. And I thought, this time is wasted. I've had this time and it's just gone. And now it is too late. And I thought, no, there is yet hope. There is still some time left. And then my mind went to you, dear friends, at the Pilgrim Home. And I thought, how many of you may have got right through many years of your life, right through the eventide of your life. And it may be that some of you, even as yet, do not really know the Lord. That you've gone all this way, you might have had an outward form of religion, you might have attended the house of God, but not truly known the Lord, known your sins forgiven, known a real union with the Lord. And you might think, here is all my life gone, it's wasted, it's too late, there is no hope. Now, of course, we always exhort our congregation to seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. But you know, there's one case in Scripture, and one only, that none might presume and that none might despair. We have the dying thief, even on a dying bed, as it were, or hanging upon the tree. And we see the change. We read that both of them, both of those thieves at one time, they cast the same mocking, deriding in the face of our Lord. But then we have one changed and one different. And how is that evidence? It's reproving his fellow and then turning to the Lord. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And we see such a difference right at the last. How easy it would be in a last sickness, on a deathbed, and to look past all your life. You know, my dear mother was so blessed in the last week or two of her life, dying of cancer, blind. She'd attended the place of worship all her days. She brought us children up in the fear of the Lord, but she knew she did not yet have the secret of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord. And I used to creep along the corridor in the night and hear her pleading with the Lord, open the ark and take me in. And we saw when the Lord blessed her, the peace and the love and that which she was given. But one of the things she said, we've gone the wrong way. We've all gone the wrong way. And I believe she viewed her life and she'd had those outward things and many things, stumbling in religion perhaps, and never really truly known the Lord. There is a set time to favour Zion. There's a set time when the Lord blesses. The time of our birth naturally is set by God. The time of our death is set by God. But the time when he passes by us, when we're in our blood and bids us live, that is set by God as well. And there may be those of you there in the home, like my dear mother, all her days brought up under the sound of the truth, but realize as she faces death, as the end is near, that it is not right with her soul, that things need to be put right, and the cries to the Lord. And so if there are any of you in that position, even tide of life, yet now there is hope. You might say, but all my hope is taken away. Well, think of the case of the Apostle Paul when they were in the ship. They're going to Rome and they'd had the storm and tossed to and fro and up and down in the Mediterranean. And we read that then there was all hope of being saved taken away. And then the angel of the Lord stood with Paul that night and assured him that they would all be saved. The ship would be lost, but they would be saved. But they got that low that the apostle says, all hope of being saved was taken away. And maybe with one of you that is the case. All hope of being saved is taken away. And yet the word of our text says, yet now there is hope. Why is there? Because there is more hope of a living dog. Better is a living dog than a dead lion. Where there is life, there is hope. And the dying thief proved it. Paul proved it. May you prove it. May we each prove it. That we not say of Israel that they said at one time, there is now no hope. Now, maybe some of you, you do know the Lord. You know you do. But you've backslidden. You've been like the children of Israel and gone back from the Lord. Been joined with the world and with idols, and it hasn't profited you at all. And you look back over your life, you know, I find as I get older, the memory, those memories, childhood memories, past offences, pain mine eyes. Or you join with the psalmist in Psalm 25, remember not against me the sins of my youth, how they would, and they do pain one's soul. We need that forgiveness and pardon. We know all of those sins since conversion, since the Lord gave us light, that the Lord bring us to repentance and bring us to his dear feet, and that we have matters all settled. This blessed thing to come to the close of our lives, and all is settled, and my soul approves it well, to clearly feel and see and know the Lord has blotted out my many transgressions. And where that is so, he brings one in confession, in repentance, in humility, and brings to his feet, like the children of Israel here. It's a beautiful pattern, isn't it? Where they are not denying it, they're not making out it's better, deceiving them own selves or trying to deceive the Lord. We can't do that. They wanted it to be right, and we need it to be right. We must each stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And may it be like with dear Peter, the Lord saying, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And may our faith be so clearly seen. The Lord has put away our sin. He has suffered in our place. His blood has been shed, not by works and deeds of righteousness that we have done. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. There is hope for sinners, and any of you under conviction of it, or bowed down under a sense of your sinnership and base departures from the Lord, there is hope, there is a way back, there is a way at his foot, a footstool in humility and in pleading the precious blood of Christ alone. Let no other plea be there but Christ alone. Christ and him crucified, a dear Saviour who died to put away our sin, rose again for our justification, and to stand before the throne in his righteousness, not our own. Now there's another way of looking at this that I'd like to bring before you, and again, applied to you in the home, in the situation that you are in. It may be that there's been a rift between you and a child or a grandchild, or even between those of you in the home. And you might think it's too late to put that right. Well, may this word be with you. Yet there now there is hope. And it works two ways. Now, are there any of you in the home there, and you have got a person, a son, a daughter, a granddaughter, a grandson, whoever it is, that's trying to bridge the gap, trying to reconcile with you, and you won't have anything to do with it. You won't hear them. You won't allow them to come and see you. You won't speak to them. Dear friends, may the Lord soften your hearts, and you feel in this, yet now there is hope, and that there be a reconciliation while there is life left, that before you come to the end, that matter is settled. May you do that. And it may be that on the other side, instead of one trying to approach you and you're refusing her, maybe you need to approach someone else. And maybe you need to come to them and confess before them and say, look, I feel I may have done wrong, or whatever I have done wrong, please forgive me. But let us make up before I leave this life, before it is too late. So I leave this thought with you. Yet now there is hope. And reading on in that verse, of course, it says, yet now there is hope in Israel, even in the church of God, even in God's people. And it says, concerning this thing. May that thought remain with you as well. Whatever your thing is, there is hope concerning this thing. So may this word be suitable and applied to you, and a help and a blessing today. I really pray that it will be so. I believe that Satan has tried in many, many ways to stop the message going out this morning. And I do pray that it might go forth and bring forth fruit to his honour and glory.